Welcome to the Simply Be Found Huddle, where we talk about everything business and help your business be able to grow and scale and do all the things inside of marketing and make things easy. But today we have our guest, Faquan on. Did I say that correctly or did I botch it out?
The only person I ever botched it was my first grade teacher.
And how did that feel in the first grade?
I don't know. I wanted to correct her. I mean, being a kid, I was probably 4 or 5 years old. It was embarrassing because we identified then to our names. Now I don't. Names are not who we are. It's just something that we heard over and over again. We're more than that. We're more than our names. So,
well, yeah, I always say, just don't call me late to dinner. You can call me whatever you want. There's nothing I haven't been called before. So can you tell everybody a little bit about you and how they can find you and just what your background is?
Yeah, so if you want to find out more information once, you know, you listen to the podcast, our website is nngcapitalfund.com. That's nngcapitalfund.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, and social media at Faquan Bilal. That's pretty much where people reach out to me if they have questions. It's been a 26-year real estate journey. I've always been in sales. Started off from when I can remember, 8, 9 years old, going to the flea markets with my mom, selling merchandise from Chinatown from the table. And that's where I kind of grew my love for sales and, you know, got into it. You know, after doing a few years in college, decided it wasn't for me. I wanted to work and got into sales, worked in corporate for a few years and then transitioned into real estate in 99. And it's been a 26-year journey from there doing all types of real estate, whether it's gut and rehab, ground up construction, multifamily, buying paper from the banks. You know, just a variety of different things, still to this day, you know, in the real estate business.
Awesome. I've done a little bit in the real estate business when I was doing venture capital and working for the marketing side of that, but I was more on the marketing side end of it. A lot of our listeners are business owners. What do you recommend for them, or what do you offer any services that they would be able to come to you with to be able to do anything in the real estate world?
Yeah, well, as far as we're all business, right? Real estate is a business also. You have to really operate it from a business mindset. I would say for the first probably 10 years, you know, for me, it was just running and gunning, going in, doing deals and really not running it like a business, you know, running it like it was a hobby until I really understood the power of setting things up, systems, processes, pouring into your people, making sure they have the right training, being able to delegate, understanding what KPIs are. You know, all of those things that are business sense, right? So look at it from that point. And that's when I really started to get some traction. So really the only thing I can say to other business owners that may hear your podcast is make sure that you really have the right systems and processes set up to run your business. Make sure that you have standard operating procedures. Make sure that you have KPIs that you're monitoring your team, you know, every week in those rhythms, weekly huddles, you know, if those tasks that you have set for goals on a quarterly basis are green, yellow, red, if you're tracking that, you know, understanding the four parts of the business, cash, people, strategy, and execution, and making sure that you have goals set around those on a quarterly basis, you know, to hit those annual targets. So,
well, definitely. Now, so you have the capital fund. So do you do investing inside of those and be able to bring outside people in, or do you just do real estate deals on your own?
Yeah, so we raise capital from business owners. It could be anyone who has employees that, you know, 25 or more employees. Maybe they have a net worth of $5 million or more. They're accredited investors, maybe collectively themselves and their wife earn at least $300,000 a year, have $1 million net worth of assets, not including their primary residence. So they would invest alongside of us in these projects. We raise capital in our fund. We'll pay an investor anywhere between 9 and 12% annually. It could be a quarterly distribution, a monthly distribution, just depending on which fund that they're in. And we use that capital that we raise to do luxury spec homes in North Jersey, where I'm from, where I've been doing real estate for the last 26 years, and also impact projects in the Southeast, where we take that capital, we'll buy anywhere from 40 to 150 unit apartment buildings, and we provide housing for low-income families, seniors who can't afford a rent bump. And stuff like that is what we do in the Southeast. Really more quality housing for affordable tenant base.
Cool. That's really awesome. And how has the world of, you know, getting over COVID? I hate talking about COVID still today. How's the new world of 2025 with AI and everything kind of coming in?
COVID was light compared to the GFC in 08, the global financial crisis in 08. I still had the battle scars from that. I mean,
hey, come on. I loved 08.
Well, it depends on what side of business you were in. If you was in real estate, you didn't love 08 because it, it got swallowed alive. So, but for the people who made it out of that, they, I'm sure, like myself, learned a lot. And if you were able to keep some of those relationships from doing the right thing then, you know, you have a community, which is your network, right? Your network is always your net worth. So that was a lot that I learned from that. And coming out of that was when I started to learn, you know, how to really operate as a real business, how to set standard operating procedures, how to build processes, how to look at the KPIs, how to pour into your people, training, development. You know, before that, I was running and gunning, but 08 kind of handed something to me that I didn't want, which is, you know, a couple of punches in the face. I think Mike Tyson had a saying that said everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. So now I look forward to getting punched in the face because that helps me plan all the time, right? Not just plan B, plan C, plan D, you know, stuff like that. So you learn those things in business that everything is not going to work out. You know, like they said, it's not what you do once you get hit, it's what you do when you stand up. But COVID was pretty light. I mean, what COVID really taught me was really the virtual component, right? A lot of stores, a lot of businesses, a lot of restaurants, you know, they kind of changed from in-house to delivery. Some of them never switched back because they saw it was more profitable delivering than, you know, having people come in the house, sit at the table, they can cut their staff, they can pick up the volume. So it was a lot of things that grew out of that. And if you were a business owner that made it through that, I'm pretty sure the way you underwrite things, the way you do things, it's pretty different now because you experience that cash flow crunch, if you will, and you learn how to operate through that. So I'm grateful for all those different cycles in the market because it helps us evolve to better business owners. Some people get swallowed up and they, you know, go back to, you know, what they were doing, and some people evolve and become stronger.
I agree with that. I mean, everything takes, I mean, we look at any kind of financial market or we look at anything in the business world, which is very heavily, you know, relied on each other. It's one of those things to where you have to have corrections and you have to have balances. So whenever you have a crash happening, kind of like what we have for the corrections happening right now inside of all of our markets and everything, it changes and it gets rid of your competition that are just treating it as a hobby. And it makes the real people come up and be able, you know, who's going to last and who's not. That's probably one of my biggest things I love about anything about COVID, anything about 08 or any of the economic crashes. When we built Simply Be Found, we built it for business owners to do their own marketing. And my whole entire prediction or our prediction on that was that the market was going to crash. So we started Simply Be Found. I had a marketing agency before that, been doing marketing agencies for years. But when we started to have these own tools, I'm like, there's going to be a shift. For one, we have voice search coming out of the woodwork, and that's going to be a hot topic. At the time in 2020, we had no idea that AI was going to do what it's going to do in today. But I was counting on the down, you know, the economic downturn and businesses looking to save money. Well, when COVID happened, it changed our whole entire marketing plan because it put false money into the market and changed the whole entire landscape. And it was like, all right, well, this is interesting. This is fun. I would have never predicted that, but I love stuff like that because that's where I thrive. I absolutely love to have that kind of challenge. And it sounds like you do as well.
Yeah, adversity brings growth. When you grow up in a single parent household with, you know, no electricity here and there, you know, it builds resilience.
I agree. I grew up in a single household. But when you said the flea market stuff, I did that as a kid. We would go to the flea market after my parents lost their first furniture store and their drug problems and everything caught up to them. It was one of those things to where we lived off of the flea market for a few years. Man, that's a whole different lifestyle. And most people have never experienced that lifestyle.
Yeah. It was fun for me. It was fun. Right. It helped me learn how to turn no's into yeses. It became a game for me.
And oh, 100%.
I made a lot of money. I mean, I was probably 19 years old making 75 bucks a week. You know, that was a lot of money for a 19 year old back then. $75 was like, you know, 300 bucks.
So right before my parents lost their first furniture store, And it would have been in the it was probably early 90s. And one of the last auctions we went to, they had a bunch of these, I guess it would be a thumbtack puller, which has the two little prongs on it and looks like just to be able to pull thumbtacks out.
Yeah.
The auctioneer goes, can't sell them to anybody. I'll sell them to you for 10 bucks. I remember buying them, and there were these big tubs. I had thousands of these damn things. And I would take them to the yard. I'd go set them up at the yard sale, and I'd take them to the flea markets, and I sold them as dandelion pullers.
Oh, wow.
And I'd sell them for $1 each.
Well, that's the way
people
to do
buy
it.
Them like crazy.
Yeah, we would
probably because it was some young kid doing it, but I mean, it taught a whole different world to the whole piece.
Yeah, we would buy wholesale from Chinatown or retail, whether it was hats, scarves, gloves, whatever it was, oils, incense, whatever we can find, wholesale and sell retail. So it was a great experience. And it really what attracted me to sales. And, you know, my whole life is I've been working in sales, whether it was for corporate or whether everyone is in sales. Right. So, yeah,
it doesn't matter what you do. You're selling something.
Yeah.
You're selling yourself and to some level, or you are selling some kind of product inside of business. What are you predicting for what's going to be coming up inside of the market for real estate?
You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I just know that.
You don't have that magic wand.
No, we just really, when we look at stuff, we, you know, do risk adjusted yields. We kind of anticipate longer holding periods, which, you know, makes holding costs more expensive. And if the deal still pans out after that, then, you know, we'll move forward with it. So it's just about mitigated risk and setting it up acquisitions in that with that model in mind. And you can account for any shortfallings if you need to hold on things a little bit longer. You know, that's kind of what we do now. You know, it's with inflation and all this tariff stuff and pricing increase and everything that's going on. It's really hard to really see what's going to happen. So we just continue to build risk adjusted models, and nothing is guaranteed, right? Anyone can lose money in investments. You know, we be honest with our investors and say, hey, you can lose all your money. You know, but here's what we're doing to mitigate risk. And right. It's about educating them and letting them know, look under the hood to see what you're doing and being honest with them and keeping communication with them when things go right, when things go wrong. They appreciate that. You know, it's been a 26-year journey for me. And what I learned is transparency prevails. You know, being straightforward, communicating when things are bad with investors, they want to hear it all, not just, you know, the Facebook posts and all of you're crushing it and everything else. They want to hear the challenges you're going through, because a real business owner know that you're having challenges. We all have challenges in our business. We all have storms in our business, right? But people are afraid to speak up about it and be transparent. And that's what makes you human, when you can stand in front of the room and be vulnerable and say, you know, I'm going through it right now, but this is what we're doing. So I think that's another message to business owners, especially if you have investors, just to be as transparent as possible and bringing them along the journey and explain the good, bad, and ugly. They will appreciate that.
Well, I think there's a lot of BS that's out there, and I've never had any luck ever, you know, doing a lot of bullshit and just making sure, you know, falsifying numbers or any of that stuff. It always comes back and bites me in the butt.
We can curse on this podcast?
You can curse on this podcast. I don't care. The question is, do you care? I figure you didn't care.
No, I'm good. It's all good.
But I mean, it's one of those things to where, I mean, I'll use an example for us. I was just talking to an enterprise client that was looking at using us inside of there. And they're like, well, this competitor could give all these numbers. And I'm like, I don't know where they're pulling that data from. I think they're falsifying their data. I'm like, and they're like, well, we'd love to be able to see it. I'm like, I'm not going to show you something. I don't know where the data comes from.
Mm.
And I think that every time that's ever happened inside of the world of business, for at least for me, it's always came back to bite you in the butt every single time. And you have to be honest. You have to say, this is what we're doing. This is how it's working. This is where you're going to go to. And this is how it works. And if it's not the right fit for that person, then you're probably not the right fit for each other. You're not going to be the right fit for everybody.
Correct. 100%. I think that's where a lot of people go wrong is, you know, people have to be attracted to what you're doing, right? So we have some investors that are just yield driven and they're not impact driven, right? Where we're saying, hey, we're doing this for affordable housing. You know, it's not going to be a crazy yield. We may only make 9 or 10% and they're looking for 12%. So it's not a fit, right? So, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And we only want to attract people who are in alignment with our purpose and our mission, right? Because they understand what we stand for and, you know, they, you know, are in alignment with our core values. So whatever you're doing in business, you know, try to find that avatar, those clients that are in alignment with what your mission is with your business, and that will help you grow.
How are you guys utilizing inside of the real estate world for the real estate investing side? How are you utilizing AI?
Oh, man.
And how has that changed you?
Yeah, we're using a lot with underwriting, looking at deals. You know, I can review deals faster. On a single family side, I can put instructions, especially with ChatGPT. They have a project section if you have ChatGPT 4. And in projects, you can give it instructions, like open quotation and given instructions, close quotation, then everything. You can add files to it. So for example, I took a 142 unit building that we're doing a refinance on, and I uploaded all of the trailing 12 statements, the pro forma from when I purchased it, the pro forma I used of my targets, all the financial information, all the capital expenses repairs we did from all the financials, the balance sheet, the P&L. And then I prompted it to give me the information I needed to send to the lender. And within, you know, 3 minutes, you know, and then when an appraiser asks a question, I take the question, pump it in there, it gives me the answer. It's just a really good assistant, right? So, but you have to be a good prompter and you have to know how to work it and you have to validate the information because sometimes it'll hallucinate, right? But it's getting better.
It's getting better. Sometimes it wants to, it's always going to be your best friend and try to be your best friend, but sometimes you don't want it, you want it to argue with itself.
Yeah, it would give you 80% of what you need. So when it comes to underwriting, it does all of the mundane tasks, and then we'll go through it, look at it. We can underwrite and review more deals and kind of go through with a fine-tooth comb just to make sure that, you know, everything is there. Bring it to our spreadsheets and, you know, download it, bring it to our spreadsheets to see if it match up. It helps out with a lot, too. You can automate a lot of communication, you know, to people. You can set things up for easy response, customer service. You can put your frequently asked questions in it. So when people on your website and they start asking questions, it'll pull from your frequently asked questions and help you out there. It's so many different things you can do. It's just amazing, man. We love it. And we're trying to do more of it, you know?
That's awesome. I mean, there's a lot that can be done with it. For your world, I'd recommend also looking at, if you're just using ChatGPT, look at Claude.ai.
Oh, yeah.
I think it does better on the reporting side than ChatGPT does, especially when it comes to stats. I use that on when I'm going through and doing consulting with any of the VC firms I still do consulting with. It just is a lot cleaner and clearer inside of there from my aspect. So I'm assuming it'd be the same thing for you because it's almost the same kind of reports. What are your goals for this year for what you're hoping to be able to do? How many real estate deals are you going to be doing by end of the year?
Yeah, right now we're focusing on operational efficiency versus trying to accumulate more, right? So we're trying to scale to be better instead of bigger, if you will. So right now the focus this year is operational efficiency with the assets that we have, you know, trying to increase occupancy, trying to really cut a lot of expenses that are unnecessary out. So we want to focus this year on that, at least the first three quarters. And then once we get to end of Q3, we'll turn up acquisition mode going into next year. We have enough assets now that we're working through. We have about 8 luxury spec homes in construction. These homes sell for $1.5 million to $2.5 million. So just kind of creating more efficiency to get the projects done faster, refining our SOPs. Wanted to spend a lot of time this year doing that and building a really strong foundation. Almost like an Empire State Building foundation, if you will, so we can have that operational efficiency in place and be able to execute. We're transitioning into CRMs that, you know, are more beneficial, getting all our departments in one instead of, you know, this department is using this department is using that. So this operational efficiency is the mantra right now for the company. And that's just one of the goals that we have. And, you know, once we get somewhere mid to end of Q3, we'll turn up more in acquisition mode. So that's kind of what the main goal is for the company. And I would implore any business owner to look at that, right? Take a step back, get the systems, processes, everything in place. before you, you know, want to just explode and grow?
Well, it's utilizing knowing what your tools are doing. We have so many tools right now that have changed, and there's more capabilities and AIs now inside of some of these tools. And it's knowing what your tool stack is, because you got to, it's a small, and also it allows you to go through and look at your budget as well, because there might be overlap and you don't need all the tools that you currently are paying for, because it's not the big bills that are going to kill you. It's all those little tiny bills that aren't bringing any value to your business. I think that's always important to look at and to look in the inside of any of those functions. Now, when it comes to marketing, what do you guys do a lot of marketing for marketing yourselves?
Yeah, we do a lot of marketing, social media, meta ads. We use Go High Level as one of our CRMs. That's kind of what we're transitioning into, because that's a really good marketing tool. So, you know, you always have to be marketing your business, whether you're out going to events. We attend a lot of investment events where we're presenting. We have a booth. We have marketing, digital marketing out there. We do a lot of blogging, just whatever we can do to kind of build that digital footprint. And then going out with brand building, going to different events and conferences where you'll find accredited investors, business owners, just to create that awareness out there. So that's pretty much, you know, what we're doing with marketing.
That's cool. I mean, there's a lot of different stuff inside the real estate world. I know we have a lot of real estate investors that are inside of our system that use our listings engine. So I was just kind of curious of what you were doing in there. And I don't think you're a current member of ours, are you?
Not yet.
Okay. I'm waiting for someone to go, I'm a member of yours, and I'm on the huddle, and I'll be like, mouth and foot. But I mean, you have to be, we look at marketing as being an ecosystem. So making sure that everything is part of it. We look at it as a tree method. So down at the bottom, you have your listings, that'd be all your organic stuff. Your website is your trunk. And then your canopy has a lot of different stuff. And it could be all the stuff you just mentioned, your blogs, your social, your events, all that different stuff. And every single business is different for what their tree looks like. And I find that very interesting for how everything goes, especially inside the real estate world. Because I talk to some real estate investors, like, I don't do any marketing. I have my Rolodex still. Oh, okay. So if anybody's interested in getting into real estate and doing investing, how would they reach you? What does that look like? What is that process? And how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, if there's any business owners that are out there that are credit investors looking to earn passive income, they can go to our website, nngcapital2fund.com, set up a discovery call and learn more about what we do. You know, I'd love to speak with you about your investing journey, what type of returns you're looking for, to see if it's a fit and we can help you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and everything with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much.